You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
What's happening, Roy? How you doing, man? You holding up well down there?
I'm hanging in there.
All right, fuck wearing all these whites.
Oh, it's cold in here.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Well, I wouldn't say all these whites. I would say
white,
like
Hispanics,
half of them.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, white is white. If you can pass, you can.
White is white. If you're white, you've been Affleck.
Best of both worlds. Best of both worlds.
They're all like you, Jessica. Don't worry. They're all like you.
Claim minority.
My name literally means sour cream.
Claim minority. Don't have to worry about it when I get pulled over by a cop.
You changed your last name, Mike. I mean, you of all people.
Yeah, once I got out from what? Now?
This guy's original last name now.
Now it's more Ruiz.
Right. No, I know, but you used that white last name to climb the ladder, and you got on the top and said, surprise.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
100%.
Yeah, that's right. Hiding. Well, that happened to me too. Dan.
You got the French last name though. I remember when I went to the then program director, as I had this job for like 2 months. And I still hadn't been paid, so I was trying to correct that. And he asked for the last name to put on the pay stub. I'm like, Ruiz? And he's like, huh. And I could just see, like, in his eyes that I should have been producing the show Dos Amigos. Like, I just, like, Ruiz.
It's the last laugh situation.
It is not just the last laugh situation. My father names me, you talk about a last laugh, my father names me Dan because Gonzalo and Luis might end up being something that causes me problems later in life, and ESPN needs a Hispanic demo, and I've got to put my father on television because no one knows I'm Hispanic. We've hidden it so well. They would have less problems knowing it if I was Luis or Gonzalo Le Batard.
El Nuevo Herald.
I mean, think about Witty's plight. He is full-blooded Colombian.
It's unbelievable.
Nobody will ever know.
No one knows that you're 100% Colombian when you're fancy lad. You get to walk around in like an espionage disguise. Happy you're here, Dominic.
Yeah, Dominic! What's up?
Dominic! We're happy to see you.
That was some fake. It's called Fifi is what they used to call it when I was in NFL, when you do a bunch of fake enthusiasm just to fool the coaches. We come out of the locker room.
That didn't feel real. Are you kidding me?
This is so fair. What he just did.
Run the tape, man. I wasn't falling for that with you.
Mike Ryan.
Too important to me.
Mike Ryan. He's so right. We have to do this better. This man spent so much time in a locker room when Ray Lewis was bringing the Fifi, stomping around the locker room, and you were looking at it. And you were saying that's fake enthusiasm. No, he's doing that for show.
The thing about Ray was it was so real. Maybe there was some icing on top. The thing that blew my mind, I remember quite clearly, and Mike, you'll appreciate this. It was like a random, maybe a Thursday night game in Cleveland, like midseason. We know we're going to destroy them. We're like in good position. And most of us are like, all right, let's go get this win and get out of there. This man is in the tunnel before the game, like working himself up to tears. And I'm like, this is like year 15. You're going to Hall of Fame. You got a Super Bowl ring. We're just trying to get in and out of here healthy. And he is like ready to like hurt somebody like it's a Super Bowl game. I think that's that among many other things is the difference between me and Ray Lewis and that intensity and the way that he cared.
We will get, I want to get to the real enthusiasm we have for being here. We will muster it in a second. But Ricky Williams describes that Ravens locker room as I was a rabbit among wolves because Ray Lewis and Ed Reed were in that locker room. Like, I don't know what kind of cold dungeon darkness Ray Lewis has to go to find that 15 years in that crazy ass thing you did for a living.
I can tell you, like, he would find, and I don't think I'm, like, telling some secrets, but he would find the most unusual things to get himself motivated. I think he was, like, started at a higher level of intensity and motivation than everyone else. But I do remember before games where he would talk about how important the team was to the city and what would happen with crime statistics when we played well. I'm not sure if this was true or not, but, like, he would, like, convince himself that he was saving people out there and like whatever you got to do. And I know that the outcomes of games mean a lot to people, but I wasn't out there lining up across from future Hall of Fame receivers. Like, I got to break this up so that I save Deontay's life this weekend. I'm like, I got to break this up so I save my job.
You ever went up to Ray and said to him, "Hey Ray, it's the Bengals. We'll be all right."
No, Suggs would do stuff like that. Like, I didn't have enough pelts on the wall. Like, I think Suggs was a jokester. He would say stuff like that and mess with people. But I wasn't doing that. I would, surprisingly, Ray was really cool. Like, you could make fun of Ray, but not on game day or not before the game, unless you're Suggs. Suggs would mess with everybody before the game because
he was the only one who was allowed, because I would imagine Ed Reed, if he had that temperament, would be allowed because they're cut from the same cloth of like this respect, Dominique, like you even understand it, right? Like these guys about football are not just better than you, which is no insult, but they're just also built.
You have to say it like that. You could have found a more tactful way to put it out.
But they're also
you're just mad because McAfee's better than you at this. That's what it is.
You just chose the Ivy League path. You chose Harvard and not
Aaron
to bust
Rogers
your
likes him more than you.
That's so true.
Damn.
And I mean, it's true.
That is true.
That hurt me. Yeah. But I
can't confirm deep. That. I cut yes. you deep.
Okay, yeah. But I spun that for a win, I felt like, the last couple of months.
No, you got the W?
I got out just in time, I feel like. Yeah. All right, let's give him the enthusiasm he wants. Let's give him the enthusiasm he wants.
I want it.
Yay.
No?
Thank you. That's it. That's all I needed was my dog. Okay. I appreciate it.
All right. Now, Dominic, we miss you, man. We love you and we miss you.
Mike's holding out the affection.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. From Stu, we love you. We miss you.
Yes.
Like, come on, Stu.
Was it we? All of us, you know?
Okay.
I love you. I miss you.
He doesn't even know me, and I can't stand it. He infuriates me.
All right. So you're feeling like you're getting one of these insincere holiday cards from Stu Gotch, right? Stu Gotch doesn't send holiday cards, I don't imagine. What he does is tell you it's on the way.
I tell you I love you. I tell you I miss you, and something's on the way.
When's the last time you spoke to Stu Gotch?
I don't know. I have to look at my text. I feel like it's been...
Works both ways, just so we're clear.
But I think Stu and I, like many years ago, we crossed the threshold into true friendship, because I think that people that Stu is not a friend with, they think Stu is amazing. And I think that once Stu wrongs you, he loves you. Like, that's it. And Stu has wronged me. And I was like, aw, that's sweet. Because, like, prior to that,
I love you too.
And I hear Dan complaining. And I'm like, come on, but Stu, like, it's so sweet because he was giving me all the Fifi, just all his fake stuff all the time, how much he loved me and how awesome I am at this. And then he was like, yeah, my daughter, hey, buddy, my daughter's got a game up there near you in Maryland. You're in D.C., right, buddy? All right. Yeah, buddy, we'll get together. Then it comes around.
Yeah.
The date comes around. I text my man, silence, until he is on his flight back. Oh, man, something came up. Had a surprise bar mitzvah in Baltimore.
That's how you do it. Yeah.
Buddy. And I was like, yes. I was angry at first. Then I was like,
I'll hit you up on the way back home.
Yep. Yes. Whittingham, what are you infuriated? To me, it's the most amazing space Stugatz resides in, because Whittingham is furious while laughing. He's like, he is enraged on your behalf, Dominique, but also he's laughing at, yeah, that's Stugatz just being Maximum Stew.
It's just the empty promises. I don't understand why make them in the first place. Why are you making these plans that you know that your worst trait is follow through?
It makes me feel better. It makes me feel better at the time that I make the promises, okay? I know I'm going to break the promises, but I don't feel bad about that. I just want some feel good. So I make a couple of promises that I'm not going to deliver on, and I feel good about myself.
Can you just say, I'm not going to have time to see you this trip, but I love you, thinking about you, I'm in your area?
That means I don't like you. No, that means I don't like you. Dominique is right. If I lie about seeing you, I love you.
You guys don't got enough scheme in you. See, what he's actually trying to do is hoping that you forget or you don't want to have the connection. Damn. So then he's hoping that he comes up and then he can, when he does that text on the way back, he's like, man, you never hit me up. I was here. I was waiting for you, sitting in my hotel room 5 hours. Buddy, I love you. What happened? Next time.
This is who Dominique is, though. And this is a true story. This is who Dominique is, because I guess this is how he made, honest to God, I didn't mean to insult you, that you aren't as good as Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. My bad. Huge critique by me. But one of the reasons you must have fit in the world that so well, because you told us the story of teaming up with Ed on something you and he saw as your signature moment of like, I understand this game. And that is what real teamwork looks like. Before Dominique even knew Stugatz for real, but just liked our environment and liked Stugatz, we were in the middle of negotiations, and Dominique is yelling at me that I got to go yell at ESPN executives on behalf of Stugatz to respect the lie. Respect the sincerity of the lie that this character was valuable.
Last time we actually spoke, me and Dominique.
Dominique is yelling at me like that. I got to go in there, and I don't mean to embarrass you, Stugatz, but that's a true story. That Dominique was like, you have to go fight Disney on behalf of this man getting the respect.
I really wanted you to get the respect you deserve, but it was also important to me that you got Greg Cody off the show. I was like, whatever you got to do, get Stu more money, get Stu a bigger role, but I don't got room in my heart for two of them. Like, get Greg up out the paint.
Okay.
He's on now more than ever.
Well, you say this, but this, I have to direct people. I'll actually willingly direct people to the latest podcast of the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Ooh,
because
Greg
I
like that.
I love the first 3 minutes of the show as Greg Cody, who is doing an emergency podcast to talk about his column being mentioned by Jemele Hill and Tony Kornheiser. Him yelling at his producers because he himself can't figure out Twitter spaces. And I love that you guys left that in because he's enraged. This is his big signature moment. We're going to come talk about me, an emergency podcast I've asked my son to make for me. And then I call him and yell at him because I myself cannot figure out Twitter spaces. It is why Dominique Foxworth, world's kindest man, legitimately hates your father.
It's hard to argue with him.
He's far right, though. I'm talking about he is militant about this. He is far right militant in this country about hating your father, everything he represents.
It's not his podcast is technically like not within the show universe, right? Good. Don't listen to it. Do not download. Do not subscribe. Do not retweet the Greg Schotte. Don't do it. Don't listen to it. Don't talk about it. Don't tell your friends about it. Don't go listen to those 3 minutes that Dan said is magical. I would like you to figure out a way to reverse listen. How can you reverse listen to a podcast? That's what you should do to the Greg Schotte immediately. What is that? No, this is what you do. You create a podcast called Greg Cody Show, but you misspell one letter. You post that to try to siphon off some of his. That is the move.
Good
Let's
idea.
Go.
That's a great
Chris,
idea.
And this monster, I'm sorry. Let me talk about this monster, Greg Cody, one more time. A couple weeks ago, you guys are talking about NIL. And this monster, Greg Cody, has come around after decades, decades of his cold, cold, angry little heart, like speaking against players getting any money. He's like, okay, yeah, I think the players can have a little bit of money, but essentially they're ruining the game. Like, what? At the same time, not catching the irony of him just trying to piggyback like a late career third act off the back of his son and his old friend while not doing the work required to do it. Like, the younger Cody, more talented Cody now, by far.
Oh, not my God. Close. Oh, my God.
That's going to hurt, man.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show, please. Ooh. Is the younger Cody already the more talented Cody by Absolutely. Far?
I love this poll.
Do you listen to the show? Like, Greg gets a whole day. And then all he does is misplay his own hits throughout the course of an entire day, and then somehow you guys make entertainment around the fact that he's bad. You laugh at him being terrible, and by like somehow we're like, oh, this was a good day because he could somehow dribble the ball yes. off his foot, and you guys scoop it up and make it an alley oop and dunk it. He's like, hey guys, see what I just did there? It's outrageous. Whereas on the other hand, Chris is in the back producing, doing all his production stuff, slides a line in here or there. Bang, bang, boom. Efficiency. You hit him with the corner three. Playing defense. Setting picks. Boxing out. And Greg Cody comes out of the locker room after smoking a cigarette and takes off his warm-up, has on the wrong shorts, got on the away shorts instead of the home shorts, dribbles the ball off of his foot several times in the course of the game. You guys turn it into points. And then he's like, follow me. Listen to my podcast. I don't cut my toenails. Ain't I special? Stop it. Stop it. There's nothing to celebrate.
He's so right, though. And I'm pretty sure, Chris, I heard the hint. The reason that I do encourage you to check out these few 3 minutes of the start of this is because I'm sure your dad was drunk. I could hear the slur in his voice already. That's how little he respected the emergency podcast. I could hear the slur. It's a drunk podcast.
I mean, yes, every
go ahead and download. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
Every night after 8 p.m. is that with my dad. So, yes, it was 9:30. He's like, oh, at 3 p.m. At 3 p.m., he's like, we should do this tonight. I'm like, Dad, you know what that means? Let's pace ourselves today. You know, I've heard you after 9 p.m. after those Sundays after Dolphins games.
It was unbelievable.
Man, keeping the ball moving. Keeping the ball moving. This is great team play by the younger Cody.
But by talking.
Yes, I do encourage everybody to download the Greg Cody Show, CoatySHOW. Download it right now and listen to it.
This is why it's even further symbolic. Because this black man is railing against all of this obvious, entitled, incompetent privilege. And all it's doing is Greg Cody is about to have his most listened to 22 minutes in the history of the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Always wins.
Like, he always wins. That always wins. That is Dominique yelling at me to go back, argue on behalf of Stu Gatz. Because, yes, willing to make fun of yourself is part of the game in what it is that we do. But, Dominique, I've been all week. I've actually, because I've wanted to get your opinion, Brian Flores is fired down here, and it was super interesting, and I thought of you for a number of different reasons, but I'm seeing this firing happen, and I'm seeing this area vibrate with all the coaching stuff as I see Bill O'Brien gonna now re-interview at Jacksonville, and they told me Jeff Ireland is now resurrected himself. This Dolphin franchise has swallowed Bill Parcells, Saban, with bad ownership, and now I find them at the middle of the Rooney Rule. I don't know if Harbaugh is going to be their coach or not, but the reason I thought of you is because 5 or 6 times this week, rhetorically, I have said...
I listen to all the shows. It's not just you, but anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I know. Dolphin fans are mad at you, and I keep repeating it, and you've corrected me. And so 6 times I said, Dominique Foxworth said 3 years ago was unethical, immoral, the team the Dolphins were playing.
He said it.
And
I'm done trying to make you guys understand the nuance of the take I was making. I'm leaning in. It was unethical then. It's all of Miami is unethical. Putting Tua behind that offensive line, unethical. The Miami Dolphins name, unethical. You come down there, destroy their habitat, and then slap a dolphin on the side of your head and say, ooh, sea mammals, we love them. Unethical. The way you fired Manny Diaz, unethical.
Oh, Jesus.
Every politician in all of Miami, unethical.
You're right about that.
Oh, that's true.
The prices of smoothies on South Beach, unethical. The way people drive down there, unethical.
That's true.
Yeah.
That we
Al Pacino playing a Cuban man with a quarterback's last name, unethical. I mean, whole Scarface movie, yeah, unethical. Yeah. And Greg Cody.
Oh, Greg Cody is definitely unethical. Mike Ryan popped in. Mike, where were you? He sideswiped Manny Diaz, and then all of a sudden you make a reemergence.
He was doing a thing, though. I didn't want to stop him, but come on.
I'm not doing a thing. It's not a thing. This is a fact. I mean, Dan, you're not off the hook. DraftKings gave you $50 million. How much you give to Stu? Unethical. Give Stu 25 of them M's right now if you got any ethics. The whole damn city is without ethics. The way y'all treat Ron McGill and them animals, unethical. Protect the animals. Give money to his endowment immediately if you have any ethics.
That's right. We do give money to his. What's unethical about a relationship with McGill? It's the purest thing about us.
The gift to his endowment.
Stop it. I'm doing the thing, Stu. I'm doing the thing.
I know.
Be quiet.
I got out of your way, man.
There are no ethics in all of the city of Miami. I will say, however, I believe there might be one ethic left in all of Miami. It's flickering little candle in a windstorm, and Billy Corbin's tiny little hand is cupped around it, trying to protect that ethic. And you guys will not even support Billy Corbin. A shame. Shame, shame, shame to all of you unethical people in Miami. The sand on South Beach, most unethical sand in all of the world. There's nothing ethical in all of that city. And yesterday, I had to listen to you guys.
What happened?
Talk about Brian Flores. Oh, yeah, Stu, lean in for this one. I want to hear your response. I want to hear your response. Because Brian Flores was being a football coach, doing football coach things quite well, I might add, or reasonably well, better than could be expected. He gets fired. Everyone's like, what? This is outrageous. This makes no sense. And then they start a smear campaign, perfectly designed smear campaign to activate the latent racist cells in all of your little bodies yesterday. They just woke them up. All those little hooded cells that were sleeping.
Dominique, hold on. Dominique.
Yesterday, by that smear. No.
He's
by that smear
thing,
campaign, it woke it up, and y'all like, yeah.
Hooded cells.
That black man sure was angry. Was so blackety angrity black. Get him up out of here. I think they might have made a good decision.
No,
after the day before, you were like, hey, this guy shouldn't have been fired.
You're not allowed to do that. His last name is Flores. He's a Latino. I'm allowed to do that.
Okay. Afro-Latino. So we can both do it, but I'm surprised at the self-hate that you had because it's in there. They woke them dub cells up, little sleeper cells in your body yesterday. They tickled them. They tickled them by saying the black man was too angry. And you was like, oh,
that
yeah.
was startling. I got to be honest. I kept coming back at both Stugatz and Mike just jarred by just asking them again and again incredulously. Okay, so you guys are both telling me that have activated smear campaign that is just the Dolphins in the shadows anonymously releasing angry black man that worked on you and two lifelong Miamians,
black Latino man,
right?
I should say for the record, and your compassion for others is seeping through here as we just abide by Dominique Foxworth saying Brian Flores coached as well as he possibly could without making the playoffs for 3 years. That's Matt Rule, buddy.
How about that? That's Still Matt Rule, buddy.
And you highballed that? You highballed that?
Well, the what? Silence, I like, think. Is
I don't know. Last I checked, Dominique Foxworth, more teams make the playoffs now. So it's a huge embarrassment to not make it in 3 years.
You know what's a huge embarrassment? A huge embarrassment is that I've given you the opportunity to hop off of this pickup truck riding in the night with gasoline and a cross. And you said, nah. I want to ride shotgun.
Double
let's,
down.
Let's do this. Let's double down.
Perhaps
this is outrageous. So, like, harsh. The stories, A, it was a telegraph smear campaign, which Dan pointed out, and you guys knew it was coming. You saw it coming, and then you still stood there took it and then responded the way that they wanted you to. And there's nothing in that story that does not sound like football coaching. If you guys have a problem with that, fine. Let's remake the whole industry of being a football coach. That is stuff that football coaches do. But do not use that as an explanation for why you fired him. And I understand you need to work well with others inside an organization. But in this particular case, it seems like he had done enough to protect himself. Because as you guys have wrongly cited so many times, the roster they handed him was unethical. So how are you going to expect this man to take an unethical roster to the Super Bowl?
What about to the playoffs? Because that was a very meek, that's Matt Rhule. Did you go dog?
Matt Rhule's the only buddy. Buddy.
Yeah, he went dog.
He's never said buddy before.
But I didn't know whether you were saying brother or brother. Like,
no,
I
wouldn't
get him, Dan.
No.
Mike,
no,
I just felt like
buddy because of what just happened right now.
Yes.
Of your coded language. I think you should apologize to all the Afro-Latinos out there.
Well, yesterday you accused me weirdly. This was another thing he did yesterday. I don't know what he was draped in when he said, Dan, you know there are black people who are also Latino.
Yep.
That's a thing he shouted at me yesterday as if he was explaining me. What reminder did I need? That a guy whose last name is Flowers in Spanish that I would not understand that he's also Hispanic?
Mike was just trying to be there for you.
Being helpful. Sometimes you forget that he's also Latino.
The only good thing in all of South Florida is the Panthers and Kodak Black. That's it.
That's the only ethical thing. Put it on the poll, please. At Le Batard Show, is the only ethical thing remaining in South Florida Kodak Black twerking at the Panther game?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the realest thing y'all had. This is the only thing that looked genuine in South Florida.
Still not certain that was twerking.
What happened there? Was it twerking or sex?
Well, it was twerk. Well, multiple eyewitness accounts have it as twerking, but still not entirely convinced.
You could see see his pants in the other shot. You couldn't see the midsection. So there could have been, some zipper action going on.
So let me clear some things up. Like, the pants are not pants doesn't matter. $5.
Yep.
The pants are not pants doesn't matter. Like, that was not twerking. I mean, that's what white people call twerking, but it's not twerking. Twerking is a solo act. Like, you can
twerk on someone,
buddy.
Dominique.
It was grinding.
That's grinding. As my friend just pointed out, he understands what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, however, do not. Twerking is a performance. Twerking is not grinding. Like, that's grinding. It's a little different. Or lap dance, something like that.
Put it on the poll, please. Is twerking a solo act? At Le Batard Show. We love you. We miss you. We are delighted to see your face again. Any other Flores
Sounds
thoughts?
Like you're hanging up on me.
Well, we got to go. We've Sounds been like told you got to go. Me. I'll go longer with you. We were told you've got to go. So if you want
to
go longer.
I don't think that you got the stamina. You don't got the stamina to keep up with you. I'm going to leave to protect
no,
you.
No. Do me a favor. No, stay here for a second. Then I'm going to keep you. Now I'm going to box you in, and the next appointment's going to have to wait for a second. But what was he here to promote, Christopher? Because you asked him what it is that he was promoting. What's he promoting?
Yeah, he texted me. Racial justice.
Oh, for the love of God. That's how we're doing this?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're brought to us on behalf of racial justice. Dominique, I believe you're better at this than Ryan Clark, and Ryan Clark is getting all the breaks over at ESPN, all the partnerships, and I believe
you. What are you getting at? There's only one division. Spot?
Hold on.
There's only one spot?
There you go. Get him.
He's complimenting you.
Sorry, Dominique. I didn't know that only one black former DB was able to shine at ESPN.
Thank you.
But he's
Thank
better.
You, Michael
better.
Ruiz. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah? He's better? I know Dominique could play in Denver.
God,
oh
damn.
My God.
Jesus.
Oh, dear God. Man. That's very close to the line.
3 years with the sickle cell trait.
Wait a minute.
What are you doing?
You did not.
Yeah, no, I had a sickle cell trait. It's a black thing. You wouldn't get it.
Bling.
Look at that efficiency.
Look at that.
Love that,
so much better Look at that. Than Cody.
Look
so
at
much better that Cody than the other Cody. But Look it's the it. Other Cody you that's going to get all the victories.
He just caught it in a corner. Bow.
I would love to see, Dominique, you and Dan Orlovsky making that music, dancing on screen, breaking plays down, 4 minutes of football. It's better than anything since NFL Edge NFL matchup with Jaworski and Merrill Hodge.
It's already pretty great. I'm not sure why I need to be subbed in. And I don't want to work with Orlovsky. I, much like twerking, am a solo act.
Aren't you doing a podcast with Bomani next?
Who? Huh? some people like cucumbers better pickled. Did you know that?
Thank you, Dominique.
Thank you,
thanks,
buddy.
Tom.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Love you. Miss you.
Bye.
Bye. Next time you're in DC, right, Stu Guts?
Yes. Next time I'm up there.
I got something for you next time, Witty. We got beef.
Oh, snap. Why?
Oh, he just hung up.
Oh, Waka, what the hell?
Witty goes, why?
Good heavens.
Witty be thinking about it for weeks.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
I always trip out when guys go, man, you know, offensive tackle, man, you're the hardest player. I said, please, man, your job, you're a fat 300-pounder. All you have to do is stay in front of another fat 300-pounder for 3 seconds. For 3 seconds. One fat 300, other fat 300, stay in front of them for 3 seconds. mean.
Stugatz.
I got to go out here. I got to fight a dude to come off the line of scrimmage just to get into my route, go run a route, fake another dude out, go turn, catch a ball that's being projected down the field fast, flying somewhere between heaven and earth, snatch it out the air, mid-air, come down, put my foot on the ground, all while somebody trying to take my head off, and I don't get a cheer until I get in the end zone. I'm like, please. Come on, man. Let's be real.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stu Guts.
Now I'm going through my Rolodex of takes to figure out what infuriated him. Was it me defending?
I'm still self-conscious. I think it's just about the questionable joke I made at the top of the segment.
I think it's an all of you thing.
Samesies.
Was it me? Was it me defending Bill O'Brien the other day? What was it?
I did love, Witty, how you really and genuinely recoiled as if I, because it is something like nobody likes being anywhere near that pothole. And so the defending of incredibly mediocre men, making arguments on behalf of Bill O'Brien and Jeff Ireland, on all these foofs who have actually rehabbed their careers after leaving here. It's funny. As the black guy gets fired in Miami, it's funny. As Ireland and Bill O'Brien, like, it's just, you can't make it up. Like, it's cartoonishly funny.
Right. They're like Leslie Frazier, though. I think he's getting coaching interviews again. But like, Leslie Frazier does not get to live the existence that Bill O'Brien and Brian Daboll, and like if you get fired as a black head coach who failed, you don't get another go for a much longer period of time. Like, that recycling is a lot longer of a process.
But I think what's going to end up happening here probably is that Flores is going to make it a little bit quicker, right? Because he's probably going to get rehired right away. Because like, people will be forced to say, well, he's obviously not bad.
People are saying that the Giants fired Joe Judge at least in part because Flores is available now.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's interesting.
He's from Brooklyn.
You would expect him to be hired by one of these teams, though, right? He did enough down here where another team's going to take it. Adam Gase got rehired.
Straight away. Well, that's the thing, right? Is that Adam Gase gets to exist, makes the playoffs once in 3 years, has a disastrous final season, and gets hired by a division rival the very next cycle. That, like, he gets to exist. But the black version of that does not exist.
But this is how it churns a little further ahead, right? This is what progress, reluctant progress, ends up looking like as Harbaugh will get the next Ross job, right? Like, and they'll circumvent the entire rule that's meant to make sure that doesn't happen. Flores will force his way up the meritocracy by everyone feeling the weird sensation of, someone just got wrongly fired there. That doesn't happen very much across sports. And so that guy, black and Latin, climbs a little higher up the ladder and will probably be immediately rehired, which usually doesn't happen. Dennis Green, I think, had a moment like that. But there aren't many guys who get that reputation without winning for real winning. And so he will get it even though he has not made the playoff.
It's really amazing when you think about it that Adam Gase was one of those guys. Like Adam Gase.
But it's there are so many examples where you see the privilege play out.
He's a quarterback whisperer, though.
I know.
And he did make the playoffs in a non-expanded field. I think the Miami Dolphins should have kept Brian Flores. I believe him to be a good defensive coach. I think he was very poor picking an offensive staff. He proved that his entire time here. I think he was abysmal at handling this quarterback situation. And I won't stand by while you guys make him Jim Caldwell. He's just not that good. And the NFL is telling you the timeline is shorter, as it should be, by the way, with more teams getting in the
playoffs.
Where
was this when Dominique was here? So you could have gone back and forth?
Yeah, well, it's different. Yeah, he was doing a thing. Right, yeah, laying out
that's
him.
A losing argument for me. I don't know if Brian Flores is actually a good head coach. I think 7 wins in a row is impressive. But I also think losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars with Urban Meyer as head coach should be considered a fireable event.
But, Mike, when you say he's not Jim Caldwell, okay, will you guys look, please, at the trajectory and the resume of Lovie Smith? Just look at what happened to it. Yep. Went to college and the whole thing fell apart after being in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he got a second chance in Tampa.
Okay, but I don't know. What I'm telling you is I don't know what the standard is here for now elevating black coaches. We've been talking for a long time in this league about whether they have to make rules, okay? I wanted to talk to Dominique more seriously about how this entire culture is basically military school that is birthing warriors, and there are a lot of drill sergeants in there that behave like Brian Flores. So you've got this place that doesn't really even fit in 2022, a compound where we take our soldiers and we march them through the money machine, grind their bodies through it, and it needs leaders of men. And they've got to brainwash, and there are going to be parties on the outside and freedom with professionalism. And every once in a while, a Ruggs is going to ruin his life, and the pain of the game is going to have some casualties. But these men are generals in this world. And in 2022, what you're watching, and this guy was just fired for being mean. Then they smeared him, and they made him angry black man at the end. And I don't know. We can find the critique of anyone who didn't make the playoffs for a couple of years. I will again and continue to keep saying, you want to fail? You want to blame whoever you want to blame with the Dolphins over 20 years? I cannot say this enough. Pro Football Focus tells you, in 16 years studying this stuff, they've never seen an offensive line that bad. I cannot measure a coach and a quarterback. I cannot do it if you tell me the offensive line is a historic kind of incompetent.
Whose job is that? Yeah, to make them good, to make them competent, to draft the right players.
Okay, well, the article says Brian there wasn't a single player on that roster that Brian Flores didn't sign off on or want. He was here for 3 years. As a head coach, you got to work to fix the weaknesses. You never fix the offensive line.
Right. They have a bad offensive coaching staff. And so you have a left tackle in Austin Jackson, who you selected 18th overall, who's been a disaster of a development. He's a horrendous offensive lineman. They had to move to left guard. They brought in several former New England offensive linemen. They drafted several guys in decent rounds, like third and fourth round. Like that's like other teams that are well coached can put together offensive lines out of that level of talent. And so whether it's the picking of the players or the development of the players, that is a failure of the Dolphins organization that their offensive line is this bad.
The smear campaign is the problem. It was unnecessary, Dan. Listen, this gets down to one thing. He's a good coach, but Stephen Ross saw a better coach. He saw an upgrade, an opportunity to upgrade his head coach.
That hasn't happened, but you're saying
it's going to happen.
You're saying the smear campaign is unnecessary, and I'm saying they did it to change the minds of you and Mike yesterday, and it worked. And when you say it's unnecessary, no, that's where it works. And Flores gets wronged, quote unquote wrong, becomes a martyr, and ends up somewhere else, and that is progress. When we were talking about the black coaches, the way we talk about everyone else, as we fast forward and microwave what the expectations are in this sport. Coach, quarterback, you better do it within 3 years. All of you. Right. White, black, all of you. Everybody needs to do it within 3 years, or whether you're Joe Judge or not. What we're talking about is the front end of how minorities get into this business and what you have to do for Flores to not immediately sink Lovie Smith. Gone. Super Bowl, gone. Not other friends and family being hired by others who know others. Lovie Smith, Super Bowl, loses to Peyton Manning. Gone. Illinois, I know.
Tampa 1 year gone.
But you understand what I'm saying. And this is what, and look, it doesn't have to be he's fired because he's black. Like, this is what, I think people think that progress looks like running through daisies, like, you know, just skipping along. No, to make the progress, if it's going to be reluctant and if it's going to be against the system.
Right, Joe Judge got fired after 2 years. I think he seemed like a dick. I don't know him. Seems kind of dickish.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like he represents a lot of the things that I read in that article. His team was also a lot worse than Brian Flores' teams. Flores' teams were closer. He got one last year. White, brown, black, not really Asian in that league just yet, but you got 3 years now. And if that's what we're going with, that's what we're going with. I actually think Brian Flores was given a wider berth than most coaches with
I say the starting point's unfair. Like, it's not 3 years equal for everyone. Brian Flores took a bad job. We thought at the time, not good because it's in Miami, but we thought that team was as bad, so bad, that unethical Dominique Foxworth would say that it won 5 games and it's goddamn miracle.
Yeah, not all the coaches, not all the coaching jobs that are available are good jobs.
Are you saying that the 3 years, Staley, though, is unfair?
I'm saying the 3 years of where you're expecting, not all 3 years are built equally. If you don't get it 3 years and the next 3 years in Minnesota, it's different than if you're inheriting what he inherited, which is a guy. Dominique Foxworth is Harvard educated, comes from the world of champion Ravens, and looked at the Dolphin roster and said, some version of that shouldn't be out there. That's not professional. It was 5-11, and 3 years later, it was a game away from the playoffs.
But he also came here because they had draft picks, they had cap space. It was his job to sign off on all of those signings, according to the report from Barry Jackson. And he did a good job in some spots, but he did a bad job in others. Like, that's, and really, the team never made the playoffs.
So guys, that's really all I took from that article. While it was interesting hearing dirty laundry and hearing that people within that building obviously had their problems with Brian Flores, I thought the personnel thing was interesting. That's the only thing I really took from that. You hear when I'm playing devil's advocate on Flores, I'm only mentioning not making the playoffs. I don't care that all football coaches are mean. I do think it was unnecessary, though, because they could have let us have at it, say it was unfair, and 2 weeks later they show up with Jim Harbaugh. And most fans would consider that an upgrade and forget about Brian Flores.
But to Dan's point, he was the only one in that coaching cycle that signed a 5-year fully guaranteed contract because of what he was inheriting. I think all the other contracts in that cycle were 4 or 3 years. And so Brian Flores got this promise because it was a really bad job that he was inheriting. What's so funny?
Man, you are so good at what broadcasting happened? That you felt a frog come up and you fought it back without making a noise over. I was just impressed.
Whittingham, I want to tell you what you didn't see. I want to tell you, Whittingham, what you didn't see that made me
gazing.
Practically almost, like, I came very close to falling out of my chair laughing because you were being fact-based professional broadcaster guy, and right next to you, Chris Cody was marveling that your first 3 or 4 words were covered in phlegm, but you just broke through the tape and kept jumping
without
over
the noise. You felt it, right? There was a little.
You did not clear your throat.
What did you do?
Risk a fine. You took the phlegm and you pushed it back down.
He swallowed it.
And he mouthed like someone. Chris Cody mouthed like someone marveling at a great artist at work. He was jealous. He's like, "What did you mouth?"
I was like, "That was impressive."
Wow.
He just, I read his lips, and so that's what I was laughing about, that your that where you started your thought was covered in so much phlegm, and you powered through it, that Chris Cody next to you had genuine broadcasting awe at the grace in which you powered through that information.
Like, the way Al Michaels would, is how, like, how you did that is how I imagine Al Michaels reacts when he has some phlegm pop up.
I literally just talked through it. Yeah. It's still sort of
That's impossible. It's That's impossible.
There.
Come on. Share your secrets. Come on.
How did you do that? How did you do that? Stugatz doesn't want to learn. You will teach him and he will ignore it. But you did do something there. You can't broadcast. You can't have that happen while you're doing an MLS game.
Have you
correct?
Ever? Bad phlegm during a soccer broadcast?
We have cough buttons. We have cough buttons to power through that.
Okay.
But mid-thought?
Mid-thought, no. Mid-thought, you've got to figure it out. Mid-thought, you've got to get to the
like
cough
button.
You just
button. Did, man. That was great.
And really right. Well, the thing is that I was in the middle. I knew I was making a winding point. I was going to have to land this plane without coughing into the microphone. It was tough.
I got to be honest here, though, Witty. One of the other things that was happening here, and I don't know. Now, I've known Chris Cody since childhood. But one of the reasons that I was laughing is because I thought that on the front end of his awed, that was impressive, that he was secretly rooting for you to trip.
Oh, yeah. We all were. Are you kidding me?
Yes. Yes. Oh, what did he do? That was impressive.
Off into a mic.
He earned Chris's respect because he was rooting for your failure, and instead you awed him. It's the highest form of respect.
I had in my peripheral vision rooting for failure. I felt it. I felt it. Whenever I take a pause, whenever I'm searching for a word, I feel in my peripheral vision rooting for failure.
Jessica, and is Jessica the leader on this? I don't know if Billy's guilty, but I feel like this entire group.
Billy's our captain, I think, on this.
But Billy likes you and actively.
Billy's rooting for all of us to
He's
fail.
He's rooting
Dan.
For all of us to fail.
Just so you're clear.
Just agent of chaos.
Liking you is a secondary priority.
Witty's probably like my best friend off the show of all of the people that we work with, and yet I probably give him the hardest time because he's just, it's when you're a murderer and you're perfect, it's easy to make fun of.
Jess's top five friends.
What? What was that?
Here we go.
Cody, you're number two for bump day.
Yes, so mad. I knew I'd be up there. Like,
Mike's 2B.
And I wasn't rooting for your failure. I wanted you to get through that.
That last one, yeah.
Whittingham, continue Royce your point. I'm sorry that we interrupted you.
To me, he gets a 5-year contract because.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.